All right, let's turn now to this ninth chapter of Daniel. And it's in this ninth chapter that Daniel is told by Gabriel, verse 24, 70 weeks are determined. 70 weeks are determined upon the people, upon the holy city. Oh, that's Jerusalem, a holy city. There it is. To finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint Jesus Christ, the Most Holy. In some respects, this prophecy is the most spectacular that we have, because it does set a date. It does give a time. There in 70 years of captivity, as I saw this morning and saw the prophecies, and then when Daniel cries out, oh Lord, what are you going to do with this? How's it going to end up? The Lord comes back with 70 weeks in their weeks of years. And this is something that you can calculate. This is something you can figure. And it has been done all of the centuries, ever since this prophecy was given to Daniel. Everybody, it was Cyrus here, and he's mentioned by name, and everybody knows that Cyrus is the one that issued the decree that freed the slaves and said they could go back. There were a few that stayed in Babylon, but the majority of them all went back to Jerusalem, and they rebuilt the temple. So this prophecy then goes down to the end time, because of these 70 weeks, only 69 of them are fulfilled by the cross. What happened to the 70th? Well, what's wrong with the 70th? Well, the 70th is that great period of tribulation. Great tribulation, the 70th. And here's a gap between the 69th and then the 70th, and then here's the church all in here in the middle where we are. And we look at this and we see now that there is to be the final 70th week. The final 70th week. We call it the Great Tribulation. That's what Daniel called it, or at least that's what Gabriel called it, and that's what Jesus called it, the Great Tribulation. We're headed into it. And you and I see the signs. And I think that with the times moving as it is, we're very, very near to the time when Jesus will come. Now, introducing this great prophecy is the longest prayer that we have. I think it's even longer than Solomon's prayer, but it's one of the great confessions. We have sinned. My, how David cries that out. And if we're going to get the blessing of God, we've got to ask him to forgive us the sins of our nation, the sins of our country. My, what an opportunity we're going to have to reach thousands and thousands of people. And God's given us the position where we can make such a call as this to our country. We have sinned. This country has sinned. What happened to Sabbath day? Well, it blew out to sea somewhere. I heard this afternoon of this new market they have out here, the other side of Philadelphia, and the largest market they have anywhere, and they're going to have a whale of a day on Sunday. What happened to the Christian Sabbath? What happened to a closed Sunday? What happened? It's gone. There wasn't enough people left that had any respect for God to say we're going to keep it. Even Haddonfield went away. They closed. They removed their restraints, and now you have these big parades in Haddonfield on Sunday and all this sort of thing. The world has come in to destroy the Christian church as much as it can. And Christian people have been suffocated, they've been affected, and they're not. We just complain. Let's stop complaining and let's start running. Let's stop all this talk that we have and let's do a little walking for it and let the people know that our country, beloved, it's a great country. It's a marvelous country. Well, anyhow, Daniel has the right spirit here so far as prayer is concerned. And Gabriel came and talked to him. And then it was Gabriel that gave him 70 weeks. This is heaven speaking, 70 weeks. The big thing, of course, is that you can calculate those 70 weeks. From the going forth of the command to rebuild Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince is to be 70 weeks. I've always been thrilled when Ananias and Sapphira, there in these first words of Luke, were in the temple, and the Holy Spirit had told them that they would see the baby. There's no doubt that when the Holy Spirit spoke to them, they said, oh yeah, that's Daniel 9, 70 weeks. And they had it figured out that if the babe was going to grow to manhood, that he'd have to be born at this period, in this area. The prophecy says the Son of Man is cut off, and not for himself. That's for us. That's the cross in the middle of this. So they could figure it, and every generation that's had Daniel has figured it out. And here from Cyrus's decree to have him go back, there would be this time. And it works out to the day and to the date. And it stands. I don't see how anybody can deny the scripture, to deny the prophecies. They're so perfect. They're timed and they're all here. And then you get down to this 10th chapter. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belshazzar. And the thing was true. But constantly we stop and say, it's true, it's true, it's true, and it is. But the time appointed was long, and he understood the things and had understanding in the vision. This is chapter 10. In those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant food, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. My, oh my. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, that's another name for the Tigris River, and when we went there and saw it, we were told that it was also called Hiddekel. Then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body was also like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the sound of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. For the men that were with me saw it not, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. That's the way these visions affected Daniel. It just completely paralyzed him. Yet heard I the voice of his words. And when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I sent, now sent. My goodness. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. The magnitude of what was involved in this revelation that he gets. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thy heart to understand and to chasten thyself before God, thy words were heard. Oh, beloved, he hears our prayers, he hears us. And I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. Now, lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. And I remained there with the king of Persia. Oh, Daniel. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. And here we are. Over here a little later, you know, God said, Daniel, close up the book. Come to the last chapter. He says, close up the book, Daniel. Until the time of the end, he says. Money shall run to and fro, that's verse 4. Oh, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. And there it is today. We can't deny it. We see it everywhere. My, oh, my. Now I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank and the river, and the other on the other side of the river. And one said unto the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, How long shall it be to the end of these things? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times, and a half time. And those are the words you find in the book of Revelation that describe a part of the great tribulation time. When he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all of these things shall be finished. The awful persecution of Israel at these end times. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, who, how, what, shall be the end of these things. And he said, now this is beautiful. Go thy way, Daniel. Go thy way, Daniel. Though the words are closed up and sealed until the time of the end. The book has become unsealed for us. We can put it together. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, all tried. But the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. But the wise shall understand. And you and I understand this. We know what the 70 weeks are. We know that when that was literally fulfilled with the Son of Man being cut off, but not for himself, that that's us. Oh, the wise shall understand. And from that time, from the time that the daily sacrifices shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate, that's the Antichrist on the temple, set up, there shall be 1,290 days. And you get back into the time schedule you have in the book of Revelation for this tribulation period. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. But go thy way. Go your way, Daniel. We don't know when he died. We don't know where he was buried. Till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the day. The last word here is that Daniel would be resurrected. This hope and love of the thought that we will continue, that there will be a return from the grave. Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand in the latter day upon the earth. And though worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, and mine own eyes shall behold him, and not another. My. the final hope of all of them was that they would stand in their own lot in the end of the days. How beautiful, how wonderful, how glorious this is. Now, beloved, if the prophecy of the 70 weeks takes us down to the crucifixion, the 69 weeks have been fulfilled. There's a gap in here for the church, but the gap is closed when the 70th week begins, when we are taken away. And you'll have the great tribulation, Jesus called it, others called it, it'll be the time of the greatest trouble that has ever been seen. We won't go through it. I don't understand. I say it all the while. Why men aren't concerned about what's going to happen to them when they leave their... They don't have any more breath to breathe. We know. We're certain. There's no doubt in our minds. And because we're secure concerning these end times, because we have the knowledge that God is going to resurrect us, and we have the marvelous faith that when we leave the body now and death takes hold of us now, we go immediately into the presence of the Lord. We have the truth. We have the security. We have the comfort. And here God says, Daniel, go your way. Go your way. You will stand in your lot at the end of the days. It's going to be resurrected. And won't it be wonderful when all the things that Daniel predicted and all the things that he suffered will all that be in him? My, what a man he was. What a prophet he was. How he suffered. And I'm persuaded that because we have here the statement that he's to go his way and stand in his lot, he too was looking for the day when the very things he was talking about, the very things that were told him about the end time, he understood them. And they comforted him. He had the answer. Here in this ninth chapter, Daniel has been praying, Lord, what are you going to do with us after the 70 years are over? Lord, what are you going to do with us? How are you going to treat Israel? And then here comes Gabriel in answer to that great prayer of his, and he says, it's 70 weeks. 70 weeks are determined. And what? They're going to bring everlasting righteousness. They're going to put away sin. They're going to have the new earth and the new heavens, and all of this will come in Jesus Christ our Lord. Beloved, you and I are down on this little earth that goes on its course every day. The trees are almost empty now. The rain's pulling them down. We're into another winter. God does all of these things, and he doesn't let up. He doesn't change. We're just waiting. Stand in thy lot, Daniel. Stand in thy lot at the end of the days. There'll be a day when all these things will be brought into one great glorious climax. And Jesus shall come, and he will take over the reign and the rule of the house of David, and he'll sit in the city of Jerusalem, and all the nations of the earth will look to Jesus Christ our Lord. What a comfort. Beloved, you and I are living in the very end times, and we're among those who are going to be true to this book and true to this Savior, and true to God, and thank him for Daniel, who tells us all these wonderful things. Isn't it beautiful that after all the experiences of the book of Daniel, and after we see these end time prophecies, the Lord said, Daniel, I've given you all I'm going to give you. I don't need to give Israel any more. You've got the answers. Now, I'm going to take you, but we don't know when he took him or how he took him, where he's buried. It's just not here. But he says, thou shalt stand in thy lot. Wherever you're buried, Daniel, we'll bring you back up. Wherever you're buried, we'll bring you back up. You shall stand in your lot at the end of the days. And that's the end of the book of Daniel. I want to tell you, I've had great joy in expounding it to you and opening these things these last several weeks. But I have been tremendously blessed. And if something of the faith that's here and the experience of Daniel can come to us, we will have peace in our souls. And we will rest in the Lord. And oh, beloved, thank God that we are here. Thank God that He's kept us. Thank God we haven't been brushed aside or gone into some compromises of this or that, thinking we'll get more. No, beloved, we have stood where the Scripture put us, and we're staying there. And I don't doubt for one minute the fact that we were in a position to do something that perhaps no one else is able to do with our March for Victory, to call upon the Christians who are real Christians to come down to our nation capital a week after we have the resurrection celebration and tell this nation that the people who founded it did it in the Christian faith. They believed the Bible. And now when we get down there and hold up the Bibles and speak of these things on that great plaza before the capital, our hearts are going to rejoice. I just wouldn't miss it. Well, how happier we're going to be when we have the Christians got enough steps left in them, enough starts left in them, and enough determination left in them. Say, we'll go down to our nation's capital with Christians from all over this country and possibly other countries, and we'll tell the people that Jesus Christ is the Savior and that He died for our people. And because of all that they did, God gave them victory in the Revolutionary War. We brushed off Great Britain, and then we had a Christian nation. And thank God we had it. But if we're going to keep it, we've got to stand up for it. And may God bless us.